In Jesus' name. Our Lord and our God. We want to thank you for another wonderful opportunity to have to come to your house this morning. Lord, we pray that you take control in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, reveal yourself to us in a new and in a different way. Lord, so that we can be people who will be effective in the things of the kingdom, in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, send the Holy Spirit to teach us this morning. Not only are we going to be taught, but what we will know will bring about a change in the way we live and in our attitude to the things of the kingdom. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. We are continuing on the series we've been looking at. Like last week, we talked about spiritually ministering. And basically, we talked about the place of the word, the spoken word. Today, we are still looking at spiritually ministering. But today we are going to be looking at picking up the mantle for the last commission. Picking up the mantle for the last commission. By the grace of God, we are going to be receiving a series of teachings on the last commission. I mean, part of the materials I have now at my disposal is one that actually looks at the different methods of doing it. And my plan is to talk to all the people who are involved in teaching Sunday school so that we can look at each aspect of those methods. I think there are about six of them. So we're going to be looking at the different aspects of those methods. So, which means when we come on Sunday like this, we will look at a particular method and make it as practical as possible so that we are going to be discussing, you know, to look at how we can apply them to this environment. So, like I said, this morning we'll be looking at picking up the mantle for the last commission. Having known the place of the word, the aim is that by this morning, if we've picked up the mantle before, and for whatever reason, we've dropped it. In other words, we are no longer as fervent or as consumed as we used to be. My prayer this morning is that God will birth something new in us in Jesus' name. Last week, we learned a few things. We said salvation comes with a calling. That's in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. So with our salvation is a calling. And that every Christian is expected to be a soul winner. And we said that in soul winning, there is no substitute to speaking the word, to people hearing us say it with our mouth. There was a time we used to have some people who would say, or they say, look, if you live like Christ, you see, people will just follow you. People will follow you to the church. People will go wherever you go once you live like Christ. Sometimes I see it as a ploy for us not to want to evangelize. Everything we do must be to give us an opportunity to speak the word, like we said last week. And when I look at the people who say, look, if you want to live like Christ, people will keep following you, I find out that people, nobody follows them. Praise the Lord. No one follows them. Honestly, you see that no one follows them. And this is because even when Christ was on earth, how many people knew him as Christ? The Bible says, spiritual things are spiritually discerned. So if you leave it to somebody who does not know Christ to spiritually discern something, he will never know. So there is no substitute to us speaking the word. Because the Bible says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And we also said that the harvest is outside the church. And we concluded by saying that there are many things for living, but only one thing to live for, and that is God. Praise the Lord. This morning, I want to remind us that the expansion of God's kingdom is a collective responsibility. It's not limited to church title holders. The expansion of the kingdom is what? Is a collective responsibility. It's not limited to people who hold titles in churches. It's not limited to people who give themselves titles. Whether you call yourself a mobile evangelist, you call yourself apostle, prophet, bishop, whatever you call yourself, or whatever people call themselves, the expansion of the kingdom is not limited to what such people have to do. It's a collective responsibility for all of us. Look at Acts chapter 8, verse 4. Acts chapter 8, verse 4. We have a long way to go, so I think we better be quick. He said, therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Another version says, now those who were scattered abroad went about through the land from place to place, preaching the glad tidings, the word, the doctrine concerning the attainment through Christ of salvation in the kingdom of God. You will recall that when persecution arose, where were the disciples? They were in Jerusalem, actually. In fact, the bulk of them, you will realize, actually stayed in Jerusalem. Jerusalem became a center point from which people were going out, and they would bring report back to the apostles. The apostles themselves were actually traveling out from Jerusalem, and they would come back again to converge there. But the Bible said, when persecution arose, all the people who fled, all the people who left where they were, they did what? They preached the word. So it was not just restricted to the apostles. Also, this morning, we need to take note that the strongest mark of our conviction about our faith is manifested in our readiness to tell someone else about it. We are not saved to keep our faith personal, as the world tries to make us believe. I'm sure you hear it in town. In offices, everywhere, they say, look, your belief is is a personal thing. Religion is a personal thing. You know? It's a way to cage us. It's a way to do what? To keep us quiet. But when there's a new movie in town, nobody tells you it's a personal thing. When you tell them, oh, look, you know there's a movie in town. You see, the devil is very cunning. He's very, very cunning. When there's a new kind of treatment, you know, this Eastern religion, this yoga or some kind of new age thing, when it comes, if you talk about it, nobody says it's personal. But when it comes to our belief, what do they tell us? They say, look, your religion is personal. Particularly when you put the name of Jesus there. We are not saved to do what? To keep quiet. We are saved to share it. Look at Acts chapter 4, verse 19 to 20. Acts chapter 4, verse 19 to 20. If our salvation is genuine, if our salvation is genuine, we will not keep quiet. Acts 4, 19 and 20. Praise the Lord. But we cannot but what? But speak. You say, one version says here, I say, but we ourselves cannot help telling what we have seen and heard. We cannot help ourselves. In other words, there is a compulsion to it. He said, when you say, I can't help myself, I can't stop myself from saying it, from speaking about it. If our salvation is genuine, we cannot help ourselves but speak to somebody about it. Salvation is not to be heard and kept for only personal use. It is meant to be noised abroad. In fact, one of the things that people should be hearing from us as soon as they know us is our salvation experience, rather than many of the things that tends to occupy our discussions. So God expects you to be an active participant in building the kingdom. Let's quickly open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 25. And let's look at this familiar story. Matthew 25. Remember, let me quickly read because of time. Verse 14 to 30. He said, for the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoned with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. Praise the Lord. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received my own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which had 10 talents. For unto everyone that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance, but from him that had not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, take a look at this. Our call and the knowledge of him that we have is that talent that has been given to us. We may keep it. We may decide to trade with it. And that is what God is telling us this morning, that we should pick up the mantle for the last commission. This morning when I was leaving home, we were joking, you know, my family and I. And we were talking about my wife's family. And she said something like, if I'm not careful, her family will come and take her from me. And I laughed. And I said to her, I started trading with one thing, with one. I've made 3 out of 1. You know? Have I not profited? Praise the Lord. You are the only one that God has saved when he saved you that day. How well have you profited? How many people have you spoken to about Christ? How many have you added to the kingdom? You will profit in Jesus' name. There are steps that we need to take. There are steps that we need to take. Before some of us came, I told us that by the grace of God, we are going to be looking at the different methods for evangelizing. And I said, those of us who will be teaching the Sunday schools, we'll be looking at these different methods. So when we come together like this, we will take a method, you know, in the morning like this, and we'll discuss it. So there will be not be much of, you know, just speaking like this. All of us will have to share our experience and look at how we can apply to the environment we live in. Because with our salvation is also what? A calling. Thank God we know the mind of God concerning evangelism. When this Lord was going away and gave talents to his servants, he didn't even say anything to them. He just gave it to them. The ones who knew what would please God or what would please their Lord did what? They traded with it. So, from today, let's start taking some small steps. The first thing is to start by taking the step to pray regularly about where you as a person fit into in the expansion of the kingdom of God. Do you know that you are likely to only pray for those things that you have passion for? Am I right? You are likely to pray for things that are of importance to you. So you can start by praying for yourself. One, asking God to reveal to you where you fit into in the scheme of things. And two, asking God to give you strength. He has already told you that with your salvation is a calling upon your life. I'm not talking about praying once. I'm talking about praying regularly about it. Things that are not of importance to me, they are not likely to merit my spending time to pray about them. I only pray about things that I think are important to me at that time. So let's make it of importance to ourselves. Proverbs 3:6. I ask you to commit your way unto the Lord. And of course, if you are going to work for him, you need the supplies from him. You need the strength from him. You need the direction from him. So when you look at John chapter 15 verse 5, we need to hold on to him to be able to do it. Nobody can go out and do it in their own strength. Otherwise, they will do what? They will fail. You are not going to fail in Jesus' name. Because God was saying, he said, behold, the axe is laid upon the root of every tree that does not do what? That does not bear fruit. You will bear fruit in Jesus' name. So it's a very, very serious matter with God. We have to give the Holy Spirit to guide us in our walk with him, particularly in this area. It's so important. Can we look at Acts chapter 13? Acts 13, 2 and 3, verses 2 and 3. He said, as the minister to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them their way. So, if we make it our passion, if we make it something that we think we must do, let's start to pray about it. Let's start to pray about the expansion of the kingdom. Let's make it something of importance to us. Something of passion. Something that is worth waiting on God for. That is the first step. If you look at the other examples, they are similar. That people waited on God for God to give direction concerning a particular thing that they were going to do. So it's time to start waiting on God, not just about what we want, but about the kingdom. Two, let's also start by praying for others. For example, the pastor, the church, people in the different teams in the church. Let's begin to lift them up so that they are not doing it in their own strength. They are doing it in the strength that the Spirit of God can provide. Again, the passion is that of the kingdom. The passion is that of the kingdom. Let's remember the servants that were given the talents. What did they do? They occupied themselves with the business of the kingdom until their Lord and their master returned. As soon as it was given to them, they did what? They occupied themselves. They got themselves busy with it. And then, if we are going to be effective, we have to start a regular personal Bible study. Note there, I said, busyness can become the enemy's or the devil's weapon of distraction. So if we are going to be busy, we need to be busy in the right direction. So be rightly busy. Be mindful of how and in what you invest your time. Let's be mindful of how and in what we invest our time. Let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. We can even be busy for the church and not be busy for God. You know that is possible. In that case, we are busy for the church, but not busy for God. We need to be busy for God. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15 says we should study to show ourselves approved unto God. The workman that need not be ashamed. Rightly doing what? Dividing the word of truth. Studying is different. Like I tell my kids, I said studying is different from reading. There are two different things. Studying, not reading. Studying takes time. Reading, you can gloss over. I remember those days that I used to read novels. When I pick up a novel, if I don't finish it, I will not go to sleep. Honestly, I will read from morning through. I just read through. But when you study, it becomes part of you. Because the reason you study is so that it can change who you are. In your profession, what do you think you do in your profession? When you study, to do what? It's to change you. And that is why when somebody starts to talk to you, you are likely to start to look at it from the perspective of your training. The other person who is hearing the same thing will be looking at it from a very different perspective. Those of us who work in the field where I work, we have what is called multidisciplinary teams. When you are talking about somebody being unwell, what do you think the social worker will be thinking about? You'll be asking, Will the kids be safe at home? Oh, without their mother, what's going to happen to them? Oh, what about the neighbors? How will they? You know, the social worker is looking at how your life is affecting people around you and how they are impinging on you and things like that. How the social amenities will flow to you and so on. Meanwhile, I'm looking at what medication I can give you to get you well. You know, what will be the complication? If it's not readily available, I will call the pharmacist. What do you think? This person is on this medication. I want to add this one. What do you think will happen? And the pharmacist will tell you, when you combine this, this one, you know? So we are looking at it from different perspective because of what? Because we have studied. So if you say you are a Christian and it has not affected your view of life, then you have not studied. Praise the Lord. Lastly, ultimately, we need to look unto Jesus in our walk with God. And as we look unto Jesus and we talk to people about Christ, what do you think will happen? People start to look up to us. People start to look up to us too. So as you start to talk to people about the Word of God, there will be people who will be looking up to you. This last Saturday, that was yesterday, I was quite happy because of something. And that is, I have this patient I've been seeing for quite a while. And this woman, she used to be a bank manager. She fell into deep depression. She has not worked for many years. In fact, she doesn't like life anymore. She does not enjoy her life anymore. I've been looking at ways to, you know, she's my patient, but I've been looking at ways to introduce her to God. So the last time she came to me, we started talking. So I told her, she's such that she will stay at home. She will not even go out. If you would say, let's go for a walk, she will look for an excuse. She will tell you, look, I need to go and get dressed. Why she's, you know, time will go, you get frustrated, you know. She will do anything not to get out of the house. So, and I then said to her, I've been thinking of what to do with this woman. So I told her, I said, look, you know what? We've tried to get your husband to help you. If he pushes you too much, you know now, husband, you know what I'm talking about. She gets angry with him, and he will quickly back off. I said, you know what to do? He said, yes. He said, no. I said, look, what we are going to do is this. Look for a church that is close by. You've not been going to church. No, she said, no. I said, okay, go to church now. I said, when you go to church, and this is a lesson for us too. I said, the people in church, if they don't see you, they will come and look for you. So when we don't see people, we need to look for them. I told her. And you see, God is so wonderful. It happens that one of the kids that is a friend to her son was doing martial arts. So she took her son to that place, and the mother of that boy came with her son also, and they met. And they got talking. And this woman invited her to come to church. Praise the Lord. The first appointment that they made, she told me, you see, because I was expecting another call, You know, she gave excuses. She didn't keep the first appointment they made. And true to what I've told her, this woman came looking for her. She said when the woman came looking for her, she remembered what I said immediately, that if she goes to church, if they don't see her, they will come and look for her. And she told me, said, next time, I'll make sure that I go. Praise the Lord. So people are going to be looking up to us that we pull them up. It's often not easy. If you don't see them, we will need to look for them. We need to be persistent. Because the touch of this faith must not die in our hands. We need to pass it on to other people. Right? That is the way the kingdom has always expanded. When Eli was passing out, the Bible said his eyes were what? Were dim, that he could no longer see. It was at that time that God started speaking to Samuel. In fact, he taught Samuel. When Samuel kept coming to him and said, did you call? Did you call? From experience, he knew. He said, I know, it's the Lord. When next he calls, you just say, Lord, here I am, speak. He told him what to say, and he spoke. And the Lord started speaking to Samuel. The same thing with Elijah. In 1 Kings 19:19-21, when it was time, he had to anoint someone else. Who is going to take over from us? We need to populate the kingdom. Praise the Lord. I know I've taken time, but I believe that this is where we should be going. This is something we should be doing. We will not stop until we start to see results. I've told us it's not about this church. It's about us fulfilling the reason we have been called. Praise the Lord. Any questions? Any questions or any contribution? Something you need to say or you must say this morning? Maybe the Spirit of the Lord is just, you know, giving you a nudge that you need to share something. Or maybe since we started talking about evangelism, God has been leading you to people and you want to share the testimony. We have 2 minutes. We can do it, please. Because it's very important. Okay, let us pray. Can we just rise on our feet? Let's rise on our feet. Remember, I told us that we can only pray, or we often pray for things for which we have passion. Can you just speak to the Lord this morning that you are ready to pick up the mantle for the last commission? More than ever before, there is no way you can say you are saved and you have not discipled someone. Can you just lift up your hand to the Lord and say, this morning, Lord Jesus, I receive the mantle for the last commission. Lift up your hand and receive from the Lord and say, I receive the mantle for the last commission. By reason of the word I've heard this morning, I receive the mantle for the last commission. I receive it. I take it with me. I go out. And I bear fruit for the kingdom. In the mighty name of Jesus, Father, everything that I need to be able to do it, I receive of you this morning. The boldness, the wisdom, the knowledge, the understanding, the perseverance, even the revelation, I receive of you this morning. In the mighty name of Jesus. I will go out from here to become a true fisher of men. I will go out of this place this morning to become a laborer in the vineyard. Because I know your word says that you are going to be with me unto the end of ages. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Father, we receive a special unction to go out and minister and witness to people about you with boldness. We receive a special unction to go out, minister, and witness about you without fear or shame. Lord, if the people of the world can sell their wares, we can talk about our gods. Therefore, everyone in the house this morning, you receive special unction to talk about Jesus. I say you receive special unction to talk about Jesus. And as you go, signs and wonders will follow you. I say signs and wonders will follow you. Because this is the promise of the Father. It will become a reality in your life. I say it will become a reality in your life. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord.